So Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Hallelujah. Okay, but Mr. Ebuka, you are welcome after. How is Jamaica? You saw Bob Marley's house there? You saw Bob Marley? Oh, I've really missed you. I've been asking after you. Okay, good. Now, the word membership in the Greek is the word melos. Melos. M-E-L-O-S. And in the first century, what that English word actually means are the word we use for parts or different organs of a living body. Different organs of a living body. So when we want to refer to the organs of our body, we call them the members of our body. So the word organs of a living body, the kidney, the liver, lungs, all those are parts of a body. Those of us who like different parts of the goat's meat or the cow meat, you know, you have the liver, you have the, what's your favorite, gizzard, okay? Intestine, what's your own? I thought some of you, I said pomo. Because, yeah, we like pomo so much, you know, the leather part. All right, okay. So now, when you mention those parts of that animal, those are called members. Members of that animal. So the word member is actually the different organs that makes up a living body. The different parts that makes up a body, that is what the word member or membership stands for. So it is a Christian word. All right. Actually, the word member has Christian origin. And so when the Bible talks about that, for us, go back to Romans 12, verse 4, then you understand the picture of what Paul was trying to refer to when he said, for just as we have many members in one body. So in today's English, we will say, for just as we have different organs in a body, for just as we have different parts in a body. Do you understand? And all the different organs or parts do not have the same function. Do you see how when you replace the word member with parts or organs, it makes sense? Say, they do not have the same function. So we who are many, all right, there are many organs or many parts that makes up a body. He said, so we who are many are one body in Christ, are one body in Christ, and individual parts one of another. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, New Living Translation. Ephesians 4, 16, New Living Translation, it says, it makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is what? Healthy and growing and full of love. Are you there? So you see, it makes the whole body fit together. Now, different organs of our body, they all fit together. Do you agree with me? They are all connected one way or the other, from the head to the toe, from the head to your feet, your fingernails, every part, there's a link that brings everyone together. You see, it is because they are all working together, that is how come we are all growing. Do you realize that when you see a baby, the fingernails is so small. But as the baby is becoming taller, even the fingernail becomes also what? Bigger. The fingernail is not left behind. Because why? Everything in the body is working together for the growth of that body. So this is what the word membership is. So when we talk about church growth, you see, a church cannot grow if the members are not working together. Because it's the membership of a church, the love that exists between them, among them, in them, how they relate with one another, how they treat one another, how they care for one another, that actually translates into overall growth of that church. So you see, when, for instance, a church is not growing,
What you need to look at is not the building, but look at the how are the members connected to one another. A disconnected membership can never cause a church to grow. When people are disconnected, they are not bound together, they are not functioning together, there is no way that church can grow. That is why if we want to see a healthy church, it's not to just say, hey, we are going for evangelism that matter, but actually to begin to look within on how are we relating with one another, how are we performing one another, with how are we performing, how are we treating one another, how are we functioning in our church. Because it is the how we function that determines how the church, how healthy the church becomes and how the church grows in return. A church cannot grow without healthy membership. Are you with me?
Yes,
now, let me, I want to quickly illustrate what membership is all about. I want you to imagine that you have gone to a beach. I don't know your favorite beach. Some said Onero Beach, Badagry Beach, Alpha Beach, whichever beach, but follow me with this picture. You go to this beach, they did not even ask you for gate fee. Everybody have access to this beach. But now the rule is that when you enter the beach, the only thing that all of us have access to is the waterfront, the beach itself. So you can all go and swim in the beach. However, in that same beach, they have a theater. In that same beach, they have a special restaurant. In that same beach, they have horse ride. They have boat ride. And the rule is that if you want to have access to all this horse ride, boat ride, the theater, and the special lunch, you need to get a pass. And that pass will cost you money. They are not saying you cannot have access to the water. Of course, you can have access to the water. But if you want to have access to these special features, the boat ride, the horse ride, the whatever they call it, all those special features, you want to go and watch film. In fact, they will even give you free popcorn. You need to get a pass to be able to access those parts. And for that pass, you need to pay for it. So maybe they charge you 10,000 naira for the pass. And the pass gives you all access to all those places. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can be in the same place, but you are not enjoying the fullness of that place. So somebody else will go to that same beach. I say, that beach is boring. That beach is boring. Why is it boring? You only play with water and swim from morning till night. Nothing else in that beach. But the other person who has a pass will say, but you know, I really enjoyed myself. I watched movie. They gave me popcorn. I went for horse ride. I went for boat ride. Oh, what a wonderful beach. Now, what is the difference between these two experiences? The pass, right? Good. It's not even about the money. You can have the money, but choose not to buy the pass. The ticket. Now, that pass, in the context of the church, is what we call membership. You see, when we all come into a church, all right, we all have access. But there are some additional and features, benefits, all right, that are in the church that you can only begin to derive from that church through the exclusivity of what we call membership. Membership gives you unfettered access, even within a church. So you see, you are here, for instance, now. You know, we all have different experiences. There are some say, I don't like that church because you see, when you are not there, nobody will visit you. Nobody visits you in that church. Nobody will call you in that church. Nobody cares for, they don't care in that church. But there are some that say, that church, they can over visit you. That church, if they don't see you, everybody, they are too friendly. No, the different levels of experience is actually as a result of the different level of commitment in the church. Because you see, when we all get into the church, you know, yes, after the first 1 or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what you need to do is ask yourself, how can I become a member of this place? Because without membership, all right, sometimes, honestly, it's not that they don't care for you. But if I don't see my hand, I know that my hand is not there. But if I shake you, no, even though I'm shaking you, we talk every day.
But by the time we depart, my hand still stays with me. So membership is not conformity. It's a call to commitment, which comes with a lot of great benefit. I'm going to show you what we call a circle of commitment so that you understand what I'm also saying better now. A man called Rick Warren, a pastor, came up with what we call the circle of commitment. And it is something that most of us pastors have really been able to adopt, and because it explains it helps you to know where you are and what you need to do to go to the next level. Okay, so can I have the circles of commitment, please? Okay, so we are going to see this circle of commitment, and some of us can relate with it. Now, I hope you can see what is on the screen. Okay, so this is the summary of the operation of any church. That's why I also like it. It's not original to Royal Grace Chapel, but it is a principle that cuts across churches. There are five levels of circles of commitment. Five levels. You will know where you are now. You see, the first level is what we call the community level, where you are just there in your, maybe in your house. You don't know about the church. You've not been to the church, this particular denomination, or you've not been to that church before, and you are just there, okay? But one day, maybe somebody gave you a flyer, or your friend invited you, or you got an IV, or the Holy Spirit directed you. One way or the other, you left your community, which now comprises of your house, your business, wherever you are, and you took that first step to come into the church. So you have moved from the community, then you have entered into what we call another zone, called the crowd zone. So in this crowd zone, you are there in the church, you are seated there. That's perhaps the day you came in for the first time, maybe second time. You are, you know, in the crowd zone, you are skeptical, you are observing. You know, some of us, even in the crowd zone, when we say, hey, go and move around, you don't really want to be known. You just want to be yourself. You just want to stay there. Because in the crowd zone, there are a lot of mixtures. There is security, insecurity. You are not sure whether you are safe. So you are observing. So in the crowd zone, you know, we are very cautious. We are very skeptical. Will I like the place? Will I not like the place? So in the crowd zone, a lot of things is going on in your mind. You are watching out. How are they taking care of my children? How do they receive me? How am I welcome? Are they friendly? A lot of things are happening. So it is actually the crowd zone, all right? In the crowd zone, you are checking the choir. Did they minister well? Did I like their song? You know, you are sampling. Okay, that is the crowd zone. But one way or the other, after some time, you settle down. But you see, let the picture remain, please. I'm going to be asking for the second diagram of the same circle of commitment soon, the white one. So just get ready. Okay, so then you then decide to, I like this place. I think I'm okay. I like the pastor's preaching. I like this. There's something that triggered your heart and then said, okay, I think I will stay. You made a decision there. But you see, one of the things that then happens is that most of us, when we make that decision, still choose to stay in the crowd. We choose to stay in the crowd. We just stay there. So you see, week in after week, so even where is your church? Oh, Royal Grace Chapel is my church. But you are in the crowd. But there is one more step you need to take, all right, to move from the crowd to the congregation level. All right? Now, let's go to the next circle of commitment that actually shows the various levels of people that are there. Now, you see that in the community, the people you have there are the what? Unchurched. Unchurched. So they don't really belong to a church. They stay at home. They can say they join online, but they are not really committed to any church. Those are majorly the people that are in the community. Some of them, it does not mean that they are not Christians, but we call them unchurched because they are not really, really committed to any church denomination. They are not committed to any church denomination. So those are the people in the community. So the day you then decide to take that first step, all right, the first step to come in, maybe through an invitation that comes your way from anything, you move to the crowd. But you see that in the crowd, all right, who do we have there? Who do we have in the crowd?
the regular attenders. So now you are committed to attending that church. You are committed to attending that church. So you come regularly. You come regularly. Now, people think that by attending a church regularly, they are now members of the church. No. Attending a church regularly does not necessarily make you a member of the church. That is what this is all about. You are still part of the crowd. Now, you see, the thing is that, like the people who are now in the beach, now that you are in that beach does not still give you the full access to everything that the beach enjoys. So you see that oftentimes, people who complain so much about a church, they complain that I have been attending this church for some time. How come when nobody sees me, nobody cares for me? How come when nobody sees me, nobody asks after me? How come when nobody sees me, nobody comes to even visit me? They don't visit. It's because, you see, you are mixed in the crowd. You are in the crowd. You're so regular attendance. Yes, of course, things should not be that way. But the truth of the matter is that those things actually happen more to people in the crowd. So you watch out for anybody that actually says, that's what, I'm not going there again. Why? Say, they don't visit. I've not been to church for 3 weeks. Even the pastor, they don't know, did not call me. Pause and ask, have you visited anybody yourself? What do you do in the church? You realize that most of them are what? Regular what? Attendance. So regular attendance does not actually translate into what? Membership. Remember that membership is to parts of an organ. Membership is the different parts or organs that makes up a body. Those different organs that makes up a body. So to be a member means you are now an integral part of that body. You are playing your own function, your unique role in that body. Your own may be just the eyelashes, but you are part of something there. Your own not just maybe to just hear, but you are doing something. Your own may just be to just maybe like the tongue, to taste, whatever, but you are doing something. So now, what you see, so don't get stuck in the crowd. It is a mistake to get stuck in the crowd. Now, there is one more step that needs to be taken. Actually, this is now the step we call membership step. Now, in this church, for instance, you see us talk about membership class. In fact, we just started 1-2 weeks ago, 7:30 to 9 a.m. membership class. Now, you realize that why did we put it at 7:30 to 9 a.m.? Because you see, is actually by putting it that time, for instance, one of the things that is now demanding of you is more commitment, even the first commitment of your time. Not even your money. Not even your resources. You see, membership now means a more commitment of time. In fact, that is the first step. Now, because a regular attendant can choose to come to church, maybe 11 o'clock, 30 minutes, and go back. Of course, that's a regular attendance. Nobody, we are happy to see you. You can come even maybe 15 minutes, just share the grace, give and go. That's a regular attendance. But when we say our membership class, for instance, on Sunday, starts at 7:30, why? Even though normally you love to come to church to 10 or 10 o'clock, we are letting you understand that the first step of commitment to the body of Christ is the commitment of more time. You need to give more time. So you don't treat it as a spare tire anymore. You treat it now as something that is what? Special. How many of you want your hand to just decide to walk at will? So tomorrow morning, you lift your hand is working. Next tomorrow, it's not working. Or your hand, when you open your eyes, your body says, no, I don't want to. I like to see 10 o'clock every day. So if you paraventure open your eyes by 6 o'clock, your eyes say, I'm not yet ready to walk. The time I like to walk, I walk at my own time. And my time is what? 10 o'clock. So if you wake up by 5 a.m., your eyes is not working. God forbid, bad thing. But at 10 o'clock, your eyes begin to see very sharp. So you realize that because the eyes is of a member of your body, whenever you open it, what do you want to happen? You want it to what? To see. You want it to work. You don't want a part-time house. So you see, go back to the screen, guys. So the first commitment, when we say membership class, all right, beyond even the curriculum, beyond the curriculum, is the commitment of more time. And do you know what that does? You see, that time sets you apart from the crowd. Because now we get to see you early. We get to see you early. That is how come even in the bank, for instance, now, there may be plenty of customers, but the staff knows themselves. Why do they know themselves? One of the things is that the staff comes at a certain time that are not open to the general public. That is what makes them special. That's what makes them, that's what shows the level of commitment. But if you say you are a staff, and they say that, oh, this bank opens to customer at 8 o'clock, and you, the staff, you also are coming at 8 o'clock. Do you think that staff will retain the job? So do you understand what membership is? Now, it is at this level, that is why when we finish the membership class, there is what we call membership covenant. You see, when we give you, every member reads what we call a covenant commitment. That covenant commitment now means we are more committed to you as you are to the church. In other words, it's a commitment to Christ, our body, that now I'm part of this thing. After about 4-6 weeks when we finish that class, you the last class, you see that there's a membership covenant. This, you read it and we are saying, now I'm committed. You see, those people, I can bet you, will never complain that, oh, I was sick, nobody visits me. Nobody called me. Because it can't even happen. Why it cannot happen? Because you see, there is no way you are committed to. If a staff don't see another staff, they know themselves. But if a staff don't see a customer, they may not even call the customer. Do you agree with me? How many of you have seen that your bank don't call you when you don't come to bank? Am I right? I'm not saying it should be the norm, but it does happen. Right? Now, after membership, there is another level. There's another level. So at the level of membership, for instance, now, one of the things that matters also there is commitment of more time, and you see commitment to smaller groups. In our church, we call it care groups. So you see that those care groups, you are part of it. Like today that we are running out, the final. We are having a joint fellowship at our care group today. After which we go for 2 weeks break, then the care group will start. Now there is no way you are committed to those small groups at this membership level, for instance, that nobody will know you. Nobody will know you. In fact, a lot of time, I get to know of people's problems and people's situation from those small group leaders. I'll say, oh, pastor, this person is sick, or this person is this and that. Because that is what it's all about. Even though we are big, yet we are so small. Because in the small group, you see that we are just about 12. We are just, in fact, we often endeavor not to go beyond 15. Why? Once they get to a number, we try to divide, look for a new center to start. Because the essence of the small group is not to replicate the system of the church, but to replicate a system where everybody is known and cared for. In fact, there are problems that are solved at those small groups that I don't even know about. I just hear, oh, with this person, the other type, one of our person gave birth. Before I know it, they've even gone to do the naming ceremony, and I was not around. The church should not shut down if the pastor is not around. So that is the member. Now, the next one is what we call the maturing member. The maturing member are now the people we call the workers in the church. The workers in the church. So they are not just members. Because now, when you become a member, I'm going to tell you what one of the things. Remember that membership means that you are now supplying, you are playing a vital role in the body. So the moment you enter into membership, the thing is that you are not just seated anymore. You are part and parcel of the system. There are two kinds of church members. We have what we call two kind of people in church: the shoppers and the builders. The shoppers and the builders. The shoppers we also call them the users. All right, and the builders. Now, the users are those who only want to come and enjoy the experience in the church. They don't know how things happen. They are old. So, and you see, they are the number one complainants because they don't even know what it means for a chair to be cleaned. But the builders are those who make things happen. Now, the best place you can be is not to be a shopper in the church. That, oh, you want everybody to serve you. Because the true hallmark of greatness is service. The true hallmark of greatness is what? Service. Jesus said, if I, John chapter 13, if I, your master and Lord, could wash your feet, I'm going to get there later. He said, then I have given you an example that you should serve one another. But the builders are those who believe that if I can build it, I can have it. You see, the builders, when you become a builder, you see a problem. Instead of complaining about the problem, you prefer solution to the problem. So let me give you an instance. You know, now, for instance, now we are training new people to lead Rise to Glory. And one of the things that I observed since some of these people began to lead Rise to Glory is that a lot of people stopped participating on Rise to Glory. And I know why. Do you know why a lot of people stop participating in Rise to Glory? Because you see, when some of those people lead the prayer, they may not be able to lead like me. Some of them have a lot of errors. Some of them have imperfection. Some of them have one or two shortcomings. But you see, when you have a user mentality, when you see such problem, you will not give a feedback as to how this thing can be done better. As to how, or if you will not even say a message to the person, Lady P, you led well today. I was so blessed. However, I think that you can, maybe when, next time when you come online, maybe you can, I think you should add this and that and this and that. Why? Because it is now you are part of that body. You want it to be better. But a shopper or a user say, I don't like the way Lady P is leading a prayer. Let me look for another church that leads prayer in the morning to go and join. Because you see, they are only looking for the best experience. They don't want to contribute into making something better. So when and meanwhile, there are also those, whether I'm there or not, they will always attend Rise to Glory. Why? Because it is their church. You see, they will not say, let me look for the nearest place or another place where the prayer is so hot. They will say, no, whatever experience I'm seeing there, I can make it happen in my church too. So you see them contributing to the life of the place. And I told the people, I'm not going to actually be there until sometime. Why? Because I need to groom more people to be able to do what I am doing and doing it better. I am a failure if the church always revolves around me. And I'm the only superhero in the church, and nobody can do what I can do or do it better. Doing it better does not actually reduce me, but it actually means I'm a success. But when you are the only person that can do things in church, and yes, everybody revolves around you, but the day you are not there, that church goes down and dies. No church deserves to scatter because the pastor is not around. No, that is not what Jesus wants. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. But do you know one thing why most churches are under pressure? They are under pressure because of the users and the shoppers. Because you see, the moment they see, my man of God is not here. That pastor cannot lead like my pastor. So what do? They carry their thing. Any day my pastor comes, is no. If that was what Jesus did, then the day even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to heaven, there would not have been Christianity today. There will not have been Christianity today. Don't you realize that? Because Peter could not heal the way Jesus was healing. John could not heal the way Jesus was healing. In fact, Peter ran away. He was a mess up. You understand? That is why you didn't see most of those guys like Matthew, the rest. They could not really do what Jesus was doing, but Jesus gave them a chance. And today, they have also now translated the burden to our generation. If Jesus did not raise them, there would not have been Christianity today. Even Jesus would have lost his value because a man of 2,000 years old, still alive, leading the church. So you see, it's the same thing in the church. If the pastor is the only one that can do everything, yes, it's good. You clap for him. But you see, when you become a member, you see, you have a builder's mentality. If I can build it, that's the world we can have it. I remember my wife, I used to actually joke. My wife had a good mentality, all right? And I also had a good mentality. My wife was a worker in a church. She was a Christian. But I think one of the things both of us had in common was that both of us were like crude oil, that we were not so refined when we met our soul. So in my own state, for instance, you know, I told her, you know, after even about 10 years of marriage, I went to visit someone, and I saw a lady that I was eyeing when I was younger. And, you know, she was still not married. I'm now over 10, at that time, I've been over 10 years in marriage, but this lady now was not yet married. They were very rich then, and I used to pass in front of their church. And after service, you know, I was so nice to her, but you know, it's like, who is this guy? Now, because at that level of my life, all I had, for instance, was a camera, and I was also a washerman, not a dry cleaner, but a washerman. You know, there's a difference between a washerman and a dry cleaner. But when we want to make it nice, we say I'm a dry cleaner by profession, but I said I was a dry cleaner, but I don't even have any machine, you know.
But I ran away from dry cleaning business when I really saw clothes. Oh, you know, if you're a dry cleaner, know the kind of prayer you pray. Oh, I think after one prayer meeting in church, we pray, Lord, prosper our business. Lord, prosper our business. I don't know that you should not pray like that as a dry cleaner if you don't have a washing machine. Because if you pray, God, prosper my business as a dry cleaner, and you don't have a washing machine, you don't have a dryer, your hand will suffer for it. I can testify. Because you see, I don't know whatever prayer I prayed, but the Lord decided to prosper my business. And the church I was attending then, one of the members said, oh, come to my house tomorrow. I have clothes for you. And honestly speaking, the agbada that the man loaded me with was about 10. 10 agbada and 10. So when I saw, I said, this one, is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? So you know what? There was a big bath. I put the detergent. I helped him. I soaked the agbada for him and I left alone. I'm sorry, sir, but at least if you come, you can continue. And I left that area. I said, this breakthrough is not the kind of breakthrough I'm looking for. But, you know, it's just amazing. But you know, my wife then, like this girl, then she looked down on me. I don't look like a husband material. I'm not like the kind of guy she would have been praying for. I'm not like a prayer point. Because you see, in fact, you know, I only had one trouser, which was a black trouser. And my favorite color was black and gray shirt. Because you see, those ones, you can wear them for about 1 week and nobody will know. You just need to dry it in the night and wear it back. Brothers, some brothers know what I'm saying. If a brother is wearing black clothes, it doesn't mean that that's the one I'm referring to. Stop looking. Don't look at the brother that is close to you. You know, but my wife saw me, the same thing with her. I don't know, but she was able to spot beyond the appearance. She could see the potential in me. All right? And she gave me that benefit of doubt. The same thing goes to her too. Because when I met my wife, she used to use rubber hair. Don't tell her. She used to tie rubber hair. Me too. I look beyond. I said, well, if today she's tying rubber, her future is still great. She will not always be a rubber girl for life. But, you know, I remember the first picture we ever took was at Ikeja Railway. You know, we just stood there, you know, and she stood by my side. I said, let's take this picture because I hear that when we are in a relationship, everybody takes picture. At least you have something to show. You know, and, you know, she just managed, and I was trying to even say, let's be close, you know, but later I realized that perhaps I had body odor because you cannot be wearing that same clothes for 1 month. You wash it every night. I'm serious. But that was all I had then. But today it's not like that. It's not like that. You see, so the same thing within the life of a church. Those with user mentality or shopper mentality, they don't give the church any benefit of doubt. If it is not a perfect church, it's not. You know, when I saw what our brothers were doing at the children's church yesterday, I was so happy. But do you know how long they've been there? We don't have such things. All right, but yet, week in, week out, there are those. I remember some people, we even buy biscuit for them every Sunday. Why? Because they know that if we can build it, we can have it. Ask your neighbor, are you a shopper or a builder? All right. Now, give me this. So the level of maturing members are now when you are fully involved in becoming a builder. The people we refer to as maturing members are the builders of the church. From membership, you are more involved. But you see, when you become a maturing member, you are not just involved at a nominal time. You are the demand of whatever it is here. In fact, maturing members, one of the signs that they are giving their gift, even if they do something wrong, we discipline them. All right, they are still there. And during the discipline, and after the discipline, they still continue. Because see, it is their church. That's mature member. But these other, at membership level, they are involved, but you can't discipline them. Say, is it by force? I'm giving my time. I'm singing. You are now, I'm leaving this church. I'm doing all this. You are not saying because I've done one or two. No. It's because that person is just a member doing part, but not a maturing member. The difference majorly between a maturing member and ordinary member is that maturing members are able to endure or receive discipline. Ordinary members, even though they are serving, but they don't want to be disciplined. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, the way they want to do it, and not have been brought under any form of control. Do you understand the difference between those two levels? So when you see it, you should be able to understand it. Then afterward, then we then add the final level, which is the fifth level, which is now what they call the call. I mean, when we talk about the call, you don't actually need to be a pastor to be a call in the church. You don't need to be a reverend to be a call in the church. But you see, the core of the church are now the policy makers of the church, the decision makers of the church. That's what it simply means. They chart the course. They can sit down and formulate policy. We can sit down and say, okay, let's do it this way. You see, it is now the core. So you don't need to, it's not title that makes you a call. It is now the involvement of your heart. In fact, the core, is simply put, are the maritally committed people in the church. Is, you know, until death do us apart. Regardless of the title, you can be a call, because right now it's like until death do us apart. That is what actually means to enter into that fifth level, which is the call. So no matter what happens, this is where I stay. This is where I live. This is where I will have my great grandchildren. This is where I'm going to die by the grace of God, and I will be there till Jesus do me apart, or until Jesus comes, or death do us apart. That is what it means to be at the core level. I remember some years ago, one of our pastors, I think Pastor Gideon, and he did something then, and I said to him, that Pastor Gideon, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to talk to you, and if you may feel offended, but if you want to leave, after I correct you, you can't leave. And that was all I said. And do you know this married man with children busted into tears? Pastor, you look at me and say, I can't leave. This is my church. You don't know this is my church. I've given up my life here. I'm going nowhere again. And I was almost crying. I said, no, this she. Two people cannot be crying at the same time. But I was so touched by that singular word. It's like, no, you see me as, no, I've passed, I've resigned. This is where I'm living. This is where I am for life. Amen. And when you see, the people I respect in this regard are Arsenal fans. Whether they win cup or no cup, you hear them say, Gunners. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. All right, so let's quickly look at reasons for membership. Number one, you need a healthy and godly relationship. Reason for membership. Number one, you need a healthy and godly relationship. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 to 10. NIV. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 to 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Pity anyone who falls and have no one to help them. I would like to also read Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. The Passion Translation, TPT, Philippians 2, 4. What does it say? Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Now, what is this passage saying? You see, godly relationship in the Christian context is a relationship that transcends money. In the world, people serve their organization as long as they are paying them well. But in the church, we serve God by serving others, not because of money, but because we genuinely love them. And so godly relationship in the Christian context, we don't do it because of money. You know, those days when I became a pastor, some of my friends said, oh, you two, you are wise now. You've gone to start church business. You've added church business to your computer business. You are going to make money. But as the year passes, over 10 years, over 12 years, over 13 years, I've been a pastor and nobody has even paid me 100 naira salary. I give the way other people give. I do all that God has required me to do. Now the question is, what is the need for me? What is the need for me at the godly relationship I get? Because that is what the whole essence of Christianity is all about. Because you see, your earthly family only ends on earth. Your spiritual family is eternal. Because in heaven, there is no Chekube family, there is no Olaniyi family, there is no Ayodele family, there is no Ogundipe family, there is no Omole family. There is only one family in heaven, and that is the family of Jesus.
So you see, if you do not grow up now to begin to build that spiritual family, you are going to be lonely in heaven because you don't know what it means to relate to people outside of your nuclear family, to show concern and love for people who are not necessarily your immediate family or because of money. The people who are serving in the choir, they do it because of their heart. You know, for instance, this year now, you know, I really want to appreciate one of our brothers. Okay, you are going to see maybe you've seen the advert outside. Every year, we pay graphic artists to do a lot of our designs. But this year, all our GWIC designs and everything was done by one person. And he did it with his team, and all free of charge. And when you see the design, spectacular. Overnight, one of our brothers also decided, I'm going to paint that children's church well. Where's Brother BJ? All right, this stand up. So if your child is there, you like the painting, this is the brother that did it. Amen. He did it wholeheartedly. In fact, he just finished it this morning. He just finished it. Around what time did you finish it this morning? Around 6 a.m. this morning. He walked overnight just to make sure that place is ready for the children. Amen. Now that's relationship. You could have charged as a professional. Is it wrong to charge? No, but what I'm saying is that genuinely, in church, you benefit from those relationships. We do it because of love. I remember chastising one of our sisters some years ago because during that time we began to help people to set up CAC documentation in church. So I trained her and I put her in the church office to do that. Only for me to realize later that she has turned into business. In fact, I had to tell her to leave. She has turned into business. So people then come instead of registering through the portal that we have created in church. And if you check, when we're doing it, those people were doing about 25,000 outside. But the cost of registering business then was about, just even till now, is about 10,000 naira. So I said, the only money you will add is 1,000 naira, which will cover photocopying, will cover internet services. So add one and let them know that we are adding 1,000 naira. That is it. All right. And but she went out. I would say, oh, that one is not good. Then you have to do that. And later I heard that she was charging people 25,000 and the rest of the day. I said, no. He said, You don't understand. You see, in church, even if you want to charge people in church, one of the things I advise, because it's not wrong for people to do business with one another in church. But you see, don't tell me that, oh, I'm doing it because we are in the same church. But you know that indirectly you will have done it anyhow for the same amount if you are not even in the same church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because in the church, we should be able to relate with one another in such a way that, so when I tell you that, oh, I do this thing, for instance, 20,000 naira outside. But because we are in the same church, I'm going to be doing it 15,000. Now, the person goes outside. The person must not find that amount that you have said outside. There's a problem. There is a problem. So, for instance, now recently, I trained our admin to be able to help people with international passport registration. Because I realized that, okay, this thing, I know it. Help them to set it up. All right, now, they charge people international passport outside, I don't know, whatever. But the official amount for international passport is actually just about 26,000. I did my own without paying any immigration officer or whatever. And I did it 26,000 naira from beginning to the end. So I said, no, help people to do it. If you know it, do it for them. All right? Now, why do we do such things? Because you see, that is the essence of a church. Now, there's a problem if we want to do that in a church. I say, oh, because we know how to do it, because people even don't know that you don't need to actually travel to Oshogbo. There are other passport centers that government is setting up that are not popular like the other ones, you know. You have to learn to take advantage of it. Now, but you see, that is the life, that's the benefit of membership. You see, we have that relationship, all right, with one another, that when I look at you, I say, yes, you know, I can't get this outside. It's a vice versa relationship. That is how it's supposed to be. And, you know, like that sister I told you that I had to sack in church. I had to tell her, see, it's not that it's wrong to charge people, but you don't tell them A when you know that is B. All right? When you say A, you are in the church, the person is your family member. It is. You don't have to bear the same surname before you are honest to the person. You don't have to be the same immediate family, because you see, people are only committed to their nuclear family. But there is a bigger family than your nuclear family. It's called the church family. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is how it ought to be. By the grace of God, those of you who are here, you know that a lot of us, we've helped you acquire lands in this place. But nobody under heaven can ever tell that you go behind and say, your pastor said add 50 kobo to the thing. Why? If I want to make money for you, I'm adding 50 kobo. Give it to me directly. Maybe it's called prophetic blessing money. You understand? But I won't go that way. I won't do that. Because you see, you need healthy and godly relationship. And we must guard against that within the church. Once that relationship is not healthy and godly, the essence of the church is defeated. You see, I did not, you know, when you look at me today, some say they like my dressing. But it was my pastor that touched me up. The first dinner in my life I ever attended was a church setup. My pastor, my wife herself does not even know what a dinner gown was. It was the church that trained us. This is how a dinner gown is. This is how to dress. So the first time I was wearing a bow tie was in the church. Bishop Doug Eward Mill, my pastor, he trained me how to do that. It was there I knew how to use fork and knife well. You know why? It's a church. Because the church is a place you receive that everybody, you see, they're supposed to produce the best set of people, because you bring your own idea, I bring my own idea, you bring your own idea, and together we are raising a new family that you on your own would not have been able to raise. That is what the church family is all about. And I'm ever grateful for that. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, the next thing that I think we are going to stop here today is you need a place where you can use your gifts. Why membership? You need a place where you can use your gifts. And I'm going to explain something with this part. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 15 says, 1 Timothy 4, 14 to 15, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, Paul was telling Timothy, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see yourself, may see your progress. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, the Passion Translation. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together, constantly connected as one. Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. Every member, everyone in the body of Christ has been given a divine gift to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. Now, let's talk about spiritual gift. I want to demystify what spiritual gift. The first thing I want you to know, that there is no Christian that does not have gifts. Every one of us have gifts. But the challenge with most of us is that how do we know what our gifts are? I'm going to help you. Now, can I have the picture of the human body? The picture of the human body. This is a human body. The organs are called what? Of that body. They are members of that body, right? So these are the members of this particular body. See, now, do you think that all these members of this body, anyone exists just to be there and do nothing?
No, sir.
Huh? No, let's interact. Can anyone be part of this body without having a role to be there? So you see that you cannot say you are born into this world, that God is the ultimate father, or you are in a church and there is nothing you are doing, or there is nothing for you there. No, there is something for you. You just need to discover what that thing is. Because you, everyone seated this morning, you are like this organ of this body. There is a unique role for you. Now, you see the part that looks like a gun that is pointing, all right? You know, even the shape is not there by accident. That is the liver. In fact, the liver is the powerhouse of the body. You see, when you eat your rice, your chicken, your meat, and you masticate upon it and you chew it in your stomach, actually, the whole thing goes to the liver. The liver is the one that absorbs the nutrients. So whether it's vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin whatever, everything is, all those vitamins, nutrients are distributed into our bloodstream by, is the one, that is why it's the gun, and it's the detoxifier of the body. Maybe that's why God made it like a gun. He points out, you are vitamin A, you are go there, vitamin D, go there, you are this. That is, so he's shooting it all out into our body. So there, everyone, including their shade, is there for a purpose. Now, let's quickly look at what are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the gifts that God gives to every man to function in this world and in his church. So, your gift will benefit the world at large and also benefit the kingdom of God ultimately. Now, you can divide spiritual gifts into three categories of spiritual gifts. The first category is what we call the motivation gift. The second category is the manifestation gift. And the third category of spiritual gift is the ministry gift. So let's recount it together. The first one is what? The first one is what, please? Motivation gift. The second one is what? Manifestation gift. And the third one is what? Ministry gift. Now, let's go. Motivation gift. Let me explain what motivation gift is to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. I will need whoever is there to follow my slide and give this images for me to actually get. I need the image of my orange. James, please, can you go there and ensure that the person there, because I don't know. I want someone that is very astute and fast. I don't want a slow person there. So Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, New Living Translation. New Living Translation. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Not all things, but what? Certain things. Certain things. Nobody can do everything well, but there are certain things that you alone can do well. So, if God has given you the ability, now, motivation gifts are natural ability. So, he said, if God has given you what? The what? Ability. Now, watch this ability. To prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it kindly. But you see, oftentimes we think this is where it ended. It's only giving us an idea of the nature of what is called natural abilities or spirit motivation gift. We call it also in the contemporary language, we call it talents. So the first gift that God gave to every man is your talent. Now, what is the difference between talent, motivation gift and manifestation gift? Motivation gift, like this orange, is inherent in you. You are born with it. This orange naturally is born like this. It can do anything. So you see that the orange cannot try to be a guava. It's an orange. God has designed it to function as an orange. So it brings out the sweet juice as an orange. The orange can do nothing about it. Now, that is actually what natural abilities are like. They are like that orange. You just find yourself doing certain things well. So, for instance, now, those of you who find yourself that by nature you just like to make people laugh, that's a blessing. But you see, it is not just there, because your natural abilities have two things: to earn you your living and to also help you advance the kingdom of God. Natural ability is what God has given to you to survive on this earth. It is what will earn you your income. But at the same time, it is what you also need to advance the kingdom of God. Now, most people in this world, they use the natural ability only for money. And they don't move on to using it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. So that is why God judges them as unfaithful. Why? Because what they do with that natural ability is just money, money, money. So they get a job with it. But you see, at the end of the day, you bring glory to God with your natural ability, which is also a gift from God by using it for the advancement and the furtherance of the kingdom of God. What is it that you do well? There are some of us, we just like serving. I love serving people. If you're around me, you know I love serving. Some of us, we don't find it difficult being generous. We love to just be generous. There are some of us, you don't like talking, but you can be encouraging. You know when people are down and they talk to you like this. Hey, even talking to you, half of their problem is solved. But do you realize that there are some people, when you are in problem, you go and talk to them, your problem becomes bigger. Have you met such people before? You mean? You don't die. Go to doctor now, even though you are not afraid. You see, don't blame them. They are not gifted in that area. Do you understand? So natural abilities are what we call motivation gift. You don't need God to come upon you to operate it. You wake up in the morning, you do it anyhow. And so there can be ball play. For instance, it took Lady P to realize that cooking is actually a natural ability. Lady P can learn. I remember when I was going to marry my wife, my concern was that I don't like Yoruba food. Even though I'm a Yoruba man, I don't like Yoruba food. So you cannot want to entice me with maybe okra and plenty stew. No, it's too bland. She knows. So it became a major thing before we married that, I don't like Yoruba soup. Then they will just put the stew there. And then the meat is standing like a soldier in the mist. But you see, because in my survivor days, even if you go to an Igbo restaurant, there is no meat there. Igbos still like all those, things that will be playing in the soup. You know, the Igbos don't like, an Igbo person will not just prepare a wedu like that. If Igbo will prepare a wedu, you will be sure that you will still meet okporoko inside that wedu soup. I don't know, Igbos are like that. They can even put ugu inside that wedu, just to make it complete or something. With all due respect to the Yoruba people, I'm Yoruba person, all right? I'm Yoruba, so don't think I mean. But I'm just saying that's the reality, all right? So I had to discuss it with my wife. But you know something? She said, don't worry. When we married, the first thing she had to do was to go and learn how to prepare Igbo food. And she prepared the Igbo. So in my house, you see olugbu or white soup, all those. Yeah, she knows how to do them, because why? That is me for you. That, I'm giving you a hint in case I want to come and visit you, Praise God. But you see, so later on as we got married, then I said that my problem is not about Igbo or Yoruba food. I have an intercontinental taste. I don't just like to eat one food for long, I like my food to be very complicated, So we then moved to Chinese food, all right? So my wife had to go and learn Chinese. So today, all right, there are some Chinese cuisine that she does, all right? So instead of eating outside, I go and buy the food, bring it to her. She samples it. Look at it. Okay, this. My wife, if you have watched a movie called Ratatouille. Ratatouille is a rat that knows how to taste. My wife goes, this one is this. This one is this. This one is this. This one is this. And then before you know it, she goes to prepare it. But that is a gift. Even cooking can be used for the advancement of God's glory. Those who have married in church will know that they marry very cheap in this church because Lady P will just say, "How much do you have of your budget?" Don't worry, Lady P can prepare anything. We are having couples 7 weeks of a master class for our married people. There is going to be refreshment there. And do you know me? Yoruba will say that when the one man with the one leg go and commit crime, is the one with the two legs that he will put. That is me for you. When me, I will make mouth. Yeah, I will say all those things. I know that it's because Lady P is there to rescue me. But if so, cooking can be a gift. You love playing football. Football is not just to make money. You can start a football club in church. Because whatever it is that God has given to you, you must then know that this thing, how can I also use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? You like fashion. You can say, oh, I say so fashion is my thing. Let me see what I can decorate here. I will take it upon myself to decorate the people that are singing or whatever. You see, the bottom line of your natural gift is that don't let it end with just fetching you money. Find a way to let it add value to the kingdom of God. Simple as that. Because it is within your power to use it. It's within your power to use it. The next one is what we call manifestation gifts. Now, this is the whole summary of the whole entire thing about spiritual gifts. Manifestation gift, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, New Living Translation. I want you to see the difference. God works in different ways, but it is God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. We can help each other so that we can help each other. What is the difference between motivation gift and manifestation gift? Motivation gift, the key is in your own hand. The switch is in your hand. You can turn it on or off at your own will. Motivation gift, you can stand tomorrow and say, you want to start singing, how I worthy, O Lord. You don't need anything. But manifestation gift, the key is in the hand of the Holy Spirit. So you see, manifestation gift, you don't operate it as you will. He operates it in you as the need demands. So that is why when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 and above, it then talks about the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, all those gifts. The difference between that and the motivational gift is that maybe we are in a place right now, God needs to minister healing to somebody. Then you see that he gives the gift of healing, all right, that such that by the time the person prays for that person, there is healing. But you realize that after he prays, tomorrow he cannot just heal all the people. That was why Jesus, even when he got to a place in John chapter 6 or John chapter 8, he saw plenty of people who had sickness, but he could only heal one man. And when they were asking him, how come you will not heal all of them? He said, I walk as I see my father walk. You know, I do the things I see my father do. It is God that works in manifestation gift. But let me say this. The reason why most people do not experience God giving them manifestation gift is that they are not faithful with their motivation gifts. Because you see, the moment you become money conscious, you are not God conscious, already with your natural talent and natural ability, you will not serve God. But you will use that same ability to go and serve others to make money. You will use it to do things that will benefit yourself. That means if God gives you maybe the gift of healing, all you need to do is to set up healing merchandise center. Everybody come and receive your healing at the token of money. If they don't pay you for the healing, you will not do it. Because you see, you are now money conscious. So you see, oftentimes, God wants to give people manifestation gift. He wants to use us greatly. But the problem is, we are not faithful with our motivation gift, natural abilities. We are not faithful with it. Because a man that is not, that money has laid hold of, like Gehazi, when Gehazi saw Elisha heal Naaman, he could not comprehend why he would not charge him for that healing. You mean say you didn't let him go like that? And he saw the gold, the cloth, and all the thing that Gehazi, Naaman came with. And he felt his master was foolish. So when Elisha went inside, what did Gehazi do? He ran after Naaman and said, sir, there's a visitor that just came. My God said that you should give him some money. Then do you understand why God is using Elijah and did not use Gehazi? Because Gehazi has not overcome the love of money. Some of you, when you were younger, before you knew the love of money, you used to have some dreams. Maybe Jesus used to come and visit you. You used to prophesy. You used to have so special experience. But do you realize that as you grow up, those things began to disappear? Why? Because now you are more concerned about the things of this world and no more about the things of God. You are building your own kingdom and you are not concerned anymore about the kingdom of God. So God has to say, I can't use this one anymore. He loves money too much. She loves money too much. So God has to go and look for someone else. So when you look back, when I was younger, I used to have this. Why now? It's not too late. Decide to be faithful. Because he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. I will submit to you that the gateway for more manifestation gift is faithfulness in your natural talent. Be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. Amen, somebody. The last one is the ministry gifts. The ministry gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. He said, however, he has given each one of us a special gift to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the height, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to who? To give gift to his people. Now, these are gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, now the prophet. Now, you see, this particular, I have a slide there, all right? I have a picture that depicts this. Can I have those pictures, please? The pictures for the manifestation gift and the ministry gift. This is manifestation gift. You saw that there was no hand holding the orange. It is inherent. But manifestation gift, the hand that causes the bulb to light is who? The Holy Spirit. So when you are faithful with what is inherent in you, it takes hold of you and begin to use you more and more. Now, but there is still one more gift. The ministry gift. You see, the ministry gift is what we call the leadership gift of the church. You see, the God gives ministry gift. That is why it's not everybody that gives it. See, the ministry gift is for you to lead the people of God. All right? That is ministry gift. So, it is not for you to do it alone. You see, that's why you see that, for instance, when I talk about our rise to glory prayers and the rest of the things, is my duty is to equip the people to do God's work. So, now, oftentimes, the ministry gift, you will not even get there if you have not been faithful with your motivation gift and your manifestation gift. Because, you see, it gives some apostles, some prophets, some teachers. Look at how Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 is written in New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Look at it, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, sorry. Verse 12. Ephesians 4, 12. New Living Translation. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13 then says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we may be matured in the Lord. So the work of a pastor, the work of an evangelist, is to equip people to become matured in Christ. Not to sit upon them, but to help them become matured in Christ. Amen, amen. Amen. Now you will see that one thing is common in all these three. It's called service. Service. All the gifts is for service. John chapter 13 verse 13 to 15. John 13 verse 13, I'm rounding up now. So John 13 verse 13 says, you call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. This is Jesus talking. If I have washed your feet, what did he say then? You also ought to wash what? One another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus is our example. So if you're a child of God, if you say you are following Jesus, then you must decide that everything he has given to you, all right? No wonder he said to Peter, I will build my church, because he knows he was a carpenter, he knows how to build things. So he used his natural ability first as a carpenter. After 30 years of carpentry work, right? God then deemed him fit to move him into manifestation gift. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, he went about doing good, healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. After that, he ascended into heaven as the head of the church. So you see, Jesus started with carpentry, then manifestation gift, then leadership gift. Today is the leader of the church. The same thing goes to you. Every of these three phases, you must strive to serve God well. Let me just read the final scripture as we close. Ecclesiastes, a wise man who wrote a scripture ended it by
days. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and look at what one of the wisest men in his days said when he finished what he said. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and give me the very last verse, I think. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will make you account for the gift he has given to you, how you are able to use it to promote his work, to serve his work. This is the end of the matter. Jesus also ended in John 21. John chapter 21, he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my flock. Then he asked one more time, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. Feed my flock. Then he asked one more time, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I said, feed my flock. So if you love God, you express your love by serving him faithfully.